Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
If anything, give Coach Belichick credit for he was responsible for keeping Tom Brady there for 20 years. Athleticism, all the, you know, just all the things that embodies Cam Newton. I think it'd be a great fit for the New England Patriots.
Oh, yes.
Dale Arnold.
9-run victory. That's how you finish out a series on the road. Look at that. Mitch Moreland, 6-for-6 with 4 home runs.
Rich Keefe.
Here is the Long Island iced tea. Vodka, gin, rum, tequila, triple sec.
The guy is drunk.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
And the booty hole gets tighter.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. I'm going to start this story with Premier League Soccer, but then I'm, believe it or not, going to bring it back to the NFL. According to a story in The Independent in the United Kingdom, the Premier League has developed plans for clubs to play televised games in isolated World Cup-style camps in the Midlands and London over June and July in order to try and finish the 2019-20 season with the coronavirus pandemic going on, as you might expect. They've talked about, you know, playing games, quote-unquote, behind closed doors without fans, that is probably the likeliest solution. But the idea that they keep returning to is the idea of isolated camps. And, you know, we'll take them to some place where they'll all be safe and we'll be able to do this and you know, keep them out in the middle of nowhere. And the reason I bring this up is that Mike Florio, posting on ProFootballTalk.com, suggested that the NFL should look at that possibility, that taking all the NFL teams to the middle of nowhere in, you know, Nebraska or someplace, and play the games just as TV events only as a way to get the season underway, because they think that there's the possibility it might not.
Well, proof that not all ideas are good ideas, because that is as stupid as it gets.
Right.
I even said last Friday when we found out that they're still playing sports in Belarus, so why don't you just take all the NBA and NHL players and put them in Belarus and
except
play a
we're
game?
We're fairly certain they're going to die in Belarus. But
it seems like it's still a problem there. They're just kind of looking the other way on it. But no,
because the president of Belarus just thinks vodka will kill it.
Yeah, right.
Well, games keep rolling on.
You know, if you get to that point in September and you're like August and you still think that you can't play games in front of people. And you know,
so what are we going to do? We're going to take a whole bunch of people who have probably lived in places that have high volumes of it and bring them to a place that doesn't. Now, that's fair to those people that do live there in the middle of Wyoming or whatever.
You infect the people, the players, and then whoever the players come in contact with.
But then you're making all 30 teams stay in one place and then play. Like, listen, I understand we need to get creative. There needs to be outside-the-box ideas. So I don't want to just immediately poo-poo every idea, but getting all these guys to get together for several months and to play out the season on like an isolated area, like the Field of Dreams field, like that's
if you can't put people in the stands July 1st and you're still having issues, then just you might as well cancel all the sports until 2020.
Right, like the Olympics is going off in 2021. Then
you might as well just cancel.
You're probably
better off. Cancel basketball season for next year. Cancel hockey season for next year. Cancel the football season. I mean, it's not something that I want to see, but they and say, all right, we're not going to start until, you know, spring training of Major League Baseball in 2021.
Right. One of the ideas that Mike Florio brought forth here, adding to the football facility at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. They currently have 710 rooms. Add to that, bring all the teams to the Greenbrier in West Virginia, play the games there, at least to start the season. At least you've got televised events, and you go from there.
So where are they going to play? I mean, I've been to the Greenbrier in West Virginia, the hotel casino they have.
Yeah.
So they're just going to find like a local high school field and play the games there?
But that's also, it doesn't make sense. So the people who live in these spots,
right,
there's not as many of them, obviously, but these people who live there, so now they're going to go and...
You got to have hotel staffers.
Roll exactly. Like, so now those places will get infected, right?
Right.
Well, you. So, I mean, good chance anyway.
Well, you're going to say, all right, everybody in this area is a chance you'll get, you know, you're going to have to keep the TV people there. So do you keep the TV people there all season long?
Well, yeah, I guess.
In the Premier League in the United Kingdom, when they're talking about this possibility, they said that this would be a quote unquote TV mega event. They would look at plans to televise all remaining 92 games, matches, as they call them, that are left, a handful on every day over the summer months. And let's be honest, it would be a TV mega event in the United Kingdom in the same way that the NFL games would be a TV mega event here in this country.
Yeah, the TV part of it, but there's still going to be a ton of people. Because if you're talking about...
I think what they're saying, Wiggy, is if we can't put fans in the stands, mm-hmm, but we can save the TV money, this is what we do.
Yeah, I think if you can do it in the regular stands, like, you know, empty arena and empty stadiums,
right,
at their actual home base, that's right, one thing. But rounding the whole league up, and now you have to figure out how they can live. And these teams travel a ton of
huge
people, right? Like, each team has 53 players, but then these coaching staff, the, mm-hmm, training staff, all the stuff that goes with it,
right?
I just think logistically I don't know how you can,
well,
pull that
then
off.
You got to factor this in where I think people, so if you're the Patriots and you're playing, let's say you're playing in LA, what about all the, you got to stay in a hotel that, mm-hmm, has to now have, you know, enough people to accommodate all these people that have flown in there. It's just, it's. What are you doing? What's the purpose of you doing all this, right? Are you
to save the TV money?
Right, but you're not.
But that's the purpose. That's the only purpose.
Okay,
that's but save the TV money.
But we're still talking about if the coronavirus is still going on. You're not really doing anything to protect people.
Right, and then what if word gets out that now this area has been infected?
Like, well, what they're saying is you would test every player, mm-hmm, coming in.
Yep.
And once you get them in there, if they've all tested negative, mm-hmm, once they're in there, everybody who goes in would be tested.
Right.
Now you're in there, you're theoretically safe from infection. Wiggy, the idea that, I mean, let's be honest, okay? There's a lot of money being leaked away by these professional leagues right now.
Right.
They all know it. And they're trying to figure out how to save as much of it as they can. And even if it means an idea that none of us would like normally... But you know what? We can save the TV.
Yeah, but you can't because it's a stupid idea,
it's
right?
It's a really dumb
because
idea.
Because if you're saying the Greenbrier thing, right, where they're all staying in one area, who is now feeding, cleaning their facilities, the, mm-hmm, hotel? And do you have are you going to be able to fit enough people into that Greenbrier?
And now some of these players who... You know,
but just I'm talking
some
about
of their lifestyles. They're going to be okay with just hanging out there. For
but
months.
I'm just talking about the staff, though.
No, but I'm just saying, even the players. I think the players would lose their minds.
Does the staff like that works for the hotel and do they have to live there,
yes,
for these six,
they,
8 months?
They would all be tested on the way in as well.
But it's also one of those things where you can be showing no symptoms, right? And then or can't you like pick it up later on? Like maybe you don't test positive right now, but then. Like,
but if everybody went into this facility tested and they're all negative, then how would it get in?
So, but you're saying...
So, if you get tested right now and,
right,
you don't have it, but can't it be laying dormant or anything like that?
No. It can't remain dormant if you go to a place where you're all within an enclosed area,
mm-hmm,
and everybody who goes into the enclosed area doesn't have it. It won't suddenly develop 2 weeks from
so
now.
So, basically, there's going to be like a dome over all these people?
Right, and they can't leave.
No, you don't need a dome. You just need... A fence.
No. So
nobody else is coming in or out?
No.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Impossible.
You can't do that. Because what you're saying is now the people, not just the players, or the coaches.
No, but everybody who's...
But the people who work for this facilities right. that are going to be washing the sheets and cleaning and feeding food and all, those same people cannot leave and go see their families for 8 months or 6 months, whatever.
Well, how. Right. And in the Premier League's case, they only want to finish. Premier League doesn't have playoffs. The regular season champion is the champion. They just want to finish the season so they don't have to worry about a lengthy playoff run. It actually makes more sense for them than it does for the NFL.
How many games do they have left when you say?
They have 92 games remaining. With all the teams in the league who are...
So how many months? Is that like 3-4 months?
No, they are like a month and a half away from finishing.
Oh, so...
Yeah, so that's different. Yeah, and that's even then, I bet guys start to go
that would be
kinda
like,
crazy.
That would be like saying test all the NBA players.
I think they've already been tested.
Right. Put them in...
Apparently,
you know,
lots of times.
Yeah. You know, have them be in one area, one hotel, whatever it may be, and you say, okay, you only got a month that you have to stay here, and you're not going to see anybody from the outside world, and nobody's going to see you. You know, you could probably do it for a month, but you can't do it with the NFL.
Yeah, the Premier League, I actually could see it happening. The NFL, it would be. Now, what they're saying is, you know, it wouldn't be the entire season, but it might be the first month of the season or the first month and a half of the season, that sort of thing.
So then, but then you're saying that the coronavirus will still be going on somewhere in October.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't start the regular season for the NFL or, you know, college football, if you can't put people in the stands August 1st, what are you doing?
See, now would be the time to go to the moon.
Because
I assume they don't have coronavirus on the moon.
Right.
Wiggy, I can't stress this enough. What you're trying to do is save the money.
So you do this?
No, I'm saying...
Well, then what are you arguing
their
about?
Their thought process is, we've got to save as much of the money as we can save.
Okay, so again, it goes back to money or lives. Like, that's sort of the original
argument,
right?
No, you don't put lives at stake. What the leagues are trying to do is save the TV money.
Yeah, but you think it's a dumb idea, too. So I don't really understand the point.
No, I think it actually is something that could... Well, it makes more sense for the Premier League. They don't have playoffs. They've just got to finish the regular season.
So for the NFL, would you go play in a secluded area?
No, I wouldn't ask about the NFL. I would say, here, you know what would be better?
What?
With the NHL and the NBA. Because
they have less to go.
They only have like a month and a half for the playoffs, right? So you're basically saying we're gonna isolate all the teams that had made the playoffs.
It's still about, I mean, the playoffs take like 2 months, don't they?
The Stanley Cup playoffs is 2 months.
And same with basketball, pretty much.
Yep.
So, all right, so let's use that because the NFL season is too long. So a two-month period, you are completely isolating players, coaches, staff.
And that's easier to do because playoffs, you immediately cut out half the teams.
Right.
That's why the NFL is just, that's the dumbest idea in the world.
Television people, you got to have the same people running the cameras.
There's less people involved.
Right,
too.
Running the cameras every.
Because the teams are smaller. You're cutting out the bad teams right away.
Right.
And then each week another team leaves.
It's also why I think there's a real possibility that the NHL will just scrap what's left of the regular season.
We
advocated for that last week.
Right.
Just get rid of what's left.
Yeah, I think start with the playoffs. Right, I think that's the same way with the NBA, right? And that's why you're saying, that's why I asked the question. Do you feel like come July 1st, you're not going to be able to put fans in stadiums?
Yeah, I don't know. The way things are going, I think
it's possible that might be the case.
Okay.
I feel like New York or like Seattle, you're probably not playing, or San Francisco, you're not playing,
right.
But then other places, maybe
you could. So it's probably impossible to do any of this stuff because now teams would then have to travel, playoff teams, for let's say you started the NBA season July 1st.
Yeah.
You know, if the Lakers are playing I don't know.
They're not going to play the Pelicans in New Orleans, I'll tell you that, July 1st. That ain't going to happen.
Well, you don't know what's going to happen. See, that's the problem.
Right.
Now who has home? If you had a home court, is that out the window?
Exactly. I don't know. Or is it like all neutral sites? Because it's not fair if you're like, well, these cities aren't as infected, so we can play here. But you're like, well, wait a minute. our team's better. Why do we have to travel?
Say the Celtics are the 3 seed, and you find out it's better for you to travel to Philadelphia to play.
Right.
I mean, how do you do
exactly.
that? I think you either do it or you don't do it.
Yeah, these like half measures.
Yeah,
either
you could put everybody in the seats or you just cancel it.
Right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Brock's in Middleborough. Hey, Brock.
Hey, how's it going? I want to bring it back to the list real quick.
Sure.
Sure.
Wiggy, I don't 100% agree with you, but you need better PR. This is the angle you should have taken. Without a lot of those people on the 0-2 season, if that season isn't as successful, how much more Tom Brady would we have seen? Like, what is Tom Brady if that initial chance wasn't successful because he's just a second year, sixth round
right.
pick,
Brock,
anybody and this and that.
If it wasn't for Jermaine Wiggins,
started it.
Drew Bledsoe would have been the starter in 0-2.
Maybe.
It wasn't
I mean, not necessarily only Jermaine Wiggins.
Well, no,
but
no,
I
no, no, no. You got to dress it up a little.
Just go with that.
You got to dress it up a little bit.
Brock, you just said
that 0-2 season deserves so much more credit because, I mean, it's easy to look at the huge stats and all the winning after that, but if that 0-2 season isn't successful, Tom Brady's a fart in the wind.
0-1.
Yeah,
0-1.
Yeah, you don't know.
0-2, yeah.
Because 0-1, if you don't do
the 0-2 postseason.
If you don't
Right. If you lose to the Raiders in 0-1, who knows what the hell happens the whole rest of this?
Because you know
what butterfly effect.
You know what happened in 0-2. You didn't make the playoffs.
Because you know who was gone.
Yeah.
Jermaine Wiggins.
You're able to turn around and you're able to turn it around in 0-3.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you had a Christian Fouye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who wasn't as high on your list.
Oh, he was on the
Jermaine
team in
0-2. Wiggins, but
I had him third on my list.
Fouye was on the team in 0-2.
I had him third on my list, Dale. I had him third.
Tom Brady's a fart in the wind.
Well, I mean, you can't have him higher than me and Gronk. I mean, that's just
the dynamic duo.
What are you kidding?
Yeah. You can't do that.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
I'll let this cat out of the bag
on WEEI.
It's the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house. We've already named our top five tight ends of the Tom Brady era. Jermaine Wiggins, number one. Keith and I had Rob Gronkowski, number one. But you know what?
Yeah,
different people
debatable.
Have different opinions.
Right. I told you that I would probably have Gronk as the greatest tight end ever play over Gonzalez. Which
But not
good.
The greatest tight end on this team.
Right. No, it's different.
Criteria altogether. Yeah,
Brady wouldn't beat Brady if it wasn't for 0-1.
That's right.
So Gronk would have never got him.
So you have Antoine Smith as the best running back?
Because he was
era.
The running back, in 0-1.
He was pretty good, though. But
He was good. No, I know. He's probably...
He was good.
He top five?
He was good in 0-3, too, though.
Yeah, no, I know he was. But is he top five?
Well, see, the position of running back...
Oh, you just stymied him there, Rich.
No, the position becomes hard because are you factoring... Because he's a first and second down running back. He wasn't a third down back. He wasn't like a Kevin Falk or a James White.
We're going to talk to Kevin Falk later this week.
He was
we can ask him.
He was a between the tackles, right?
Yeah.
So he would probably be, if people say Corey Dillon
would be one, in my mind.
Even though Antoine Smith did it twice for two Super Bowls?
Yeah. Corey Dillon had like a 1,600-yard season.
Well, Antoine was like 1,300 in both in 0-1, he was like 1,300.
All right.
And then what was he in 0-3? 0-3, I think he was up there too.
I'll get you that information.
So, I mean, he was pretty good.
Oh, he was really good. I liked him a lot.
But he's different than like a James White or a...
he was 1,100 in 0-1.
1,100 in 0-1? What was it in 0-3?
642.
Was he?
Yeah.
I didn't think he did better than that.
I don't know. Huh. Maybe he dreamed it.
Well, maybe. Maybe Corey Dillon. Okay.
Nah, he was really good. But, I mean, Corey Dillon would definitely be number one. Then you get into all the pass catchers like James White. You know, that Super Bowl that he had all the
catches.
I would
think it would be most of those guys afterwards.
Kevin Falk, for sure.
James White.
Shane Green was good. J.R. Redmond was good, but lower.
Yeah.
Lawrence Maroney. Don't have him on there.
What about the law firm?
Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. You know who actually kind of lost in all this, had a really good like one-off year, was Stephen Ridley. He always get ripped for fumbling and everything.
Yeah.
But he had a
hard time holding on to the football.
He had a 1,200-yard, 12-touchdown season.
You know who would be up there?
LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, LeGarrette Blount.
All the touchdowns. I would rather have Falk or James White or Corey Dillon or Antoine Smith over him.
Okay.
But it's a
good position. That's a good position to try to figure out.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Steve down on the Cape. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good. Doing great.
Just a quick comment on your list, and I promise you I didn't make this phone call to stroke Wiggy,
But.
honest to God, I've only had my season tickets for 44 years.
Long time.
And my biggest memory in all of it, I mean, I sat through sitting on a freezing cold, losing every game, all this and that.
Sure.
But I always tell people what turned it around is the Pats are moving the ball, and my kid's sitting next to me in the Superdome, and he's punching me and saying, they're in Vinny Gary's ranks. And I looked him in the eyes, and I said, no, Christopher, they need seven more. And we know what happened next.
Yep.
Yes, we do. The seven more.
Yes, we do.
That's it.
Uh-huh. Setting them up.
And this is the kind of memory. And I realized it was because I was next to my son and all this other stuff. But that started the run. That's my top memory of 44 years as a season ticket holder. And thanks for doing that, Wiggy.
You got it. It was actually a pretty good
Thank
route
you,
I ran,
Wiggy.
Too.
That is nice.
If you go back and you look at the route, I did see that when Brady special, or I should say.
21 seconds left.
Yeah.
First to 10 on the Rams 36-yard line.
Yep.
Tom Brady, 6-yard pass complete to Jermaine Wiggins.
It was a very good route.
Tackled by Dexter McLeon and yep. Leonard Little.
How did he bring you down, for God's sakes?
Well, it was just about catching the ball, getting that 6 yards, and getting down.
And then when he clocked it.
Then you clocked it.
48-yard field goal.
There you go.
Sweet, sweet finish.
Imagine that. So 48 or what's that, 54? If we don't have the
yeah,
six.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Without that, oh, yeah.
54, not really. I wasn't in Adams' range.
How about that final drive? J.R. Redmond, mm-hmm. incomplete. J.R. Redmond, incomplete. Troy Brown, Jermaine Wiggins.
That's it.
Field goal.
So there's your first. There's what started Brady's
That's it.
Career.
That started the whole thing.
There you go. And then Gronk was able to
kind of take
enjoy
that
the
and
fruits
then,
of
right.
our labor.
That's right. Oh, that's why he's number two, because he enjoyed the fruits right. of your labor.
Because if we don't do that, then who knows? Who knows what happens next year?
That's a good point.
You know?
Well, it's like the people who say that if Mo Lewis hadn't delivered the hit on Drew Bledsoe, Tom right. Brady never would have become the quarterback.
That's
I think that's a false narrative.
Oh, really?
I mean, most of the people who followed the team back then thought that at that point, Brady had already kind of shown some stuff and that Belichick maybe coming out of training camp wasn't that fired up about the guy who had signed the $100 million contract and all that stuff.
But I bet he doesn't get benched in 01.
No.
You
and
know?
He probably don't get benched in 02.
Unless he trades him in the offseason.
But he probably doesn't trade him in 02 because he probably never sees Tom in 01.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Brady obviously was the backup at that point, but Bledsoe was, you know, when we look around the league now, there are a lot of quarterbacks who they're not MVP, mm-hmm. but they are clearly the team starter.
Bledsoe
and that's what Bledsoe was. He was very clearly.
He was still good enough.
Yeah, so I don't know. I really don't know when Brady would ever play.
Maybe after the 0-2 season, they say, all right, it's maybe time.
And what a difference that is, because right. now Brady goes from being, and you remember he went however many playoff games without a loss,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he starts it in 0-1. So if he doesn't have that year, God, I don't even know.
Right.
Because even if he did play in 0-2 and that team missed the playoffs.
Right. And who's to say Kraft doesn't move on from Belichick after the 0-2 season?
Right, because now you have 2 out of 3 years.
I don't think he would have, do you?
I don't know. I'm asking that question.
No, I understand
so
the question.
So yeah. Belichick's...
What's your gut here? Would he have moved on?
So Belichick's first year, he goes 5-11.
Right.
His second year, let's say...
We don't know what it would have been. With
we don't
Lester,
know.
But they're 0-2.
Right, we don't know exactly. So let's say it's another... Let's just for, you know, ish and giggles, let's say it's another 5-11, 6-10 season.
Because Pete Carroll lasted 3 years.
Right.
So
and then you go
how
into,
many more does he give Belichick?
Right, so now you're going into your third year, which is 2002.
Yeah.
And what if they go 7-9?
Like, Brady's good enough where maybe one day he would have become a starter somewhere. But if it doesn't, if it's not for Mo Lewis.
I always thought it would have been here, though. Eventually.
Based on...
Just the reports about how he had played out of training camp. I mean, he started as the number 4 quarterback and you know, kind of progressed beyond that. And you were there, Wiggy.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't. I only know what I read. But people said that, you know, you kind of saw something from him.
He had a good training camp. You saw a little bit. But the problem was they had just paid Drew all that money.
No, right. No. I'm saying the money is why he got the leash that he got. But a lot of people, if anybody, let's be honest, if anybody was willing to move on from a $100 million contract, wasn't it Belichick? He didn't give him the contract to begin with.
Yeah, but how long would that have taken him for him to get there? So that would have been the thing. Mm. I don't think 0-1 would have been the season, and I don't think 0-2 would have been it. Maybe 0-3, he says, all right, we're going to trade him, move on from, cut him, whatever it may be. and we're gonna give it. We're gonna put it in Brady's hands and let Brady compete against,
right,
you know, whoever quarterback.
Even if he takes over, it's just so different because maybe it's year three, but he doesn't have the Super Bowl on the resume,
right?
You know, and it's just it's completely different.
Now, what if he has his first year with Brady? They're not very good, and now that's Belichick's fourth year,
right?
Doesn't Kraft sooner or later go, well, you know what? We haven't been good in a while.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. When Bill won his second year, he won a Super Bowl. That probably gave him an extra couple of years.
Oh, for sure.
To, you know, for Kraft to go. Even if they went 9-7,
they went 9-7-0-2, missed the playoffs.
Right, and so
then they bounce right back.
Right,
obviously.
But say they don't bounce back. Say they miss the playoffs again.
Right.
I bet Kraft gives him a little bit more time because
He's got the Super Bowl.
He's got the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, and people forget what it was like that first year in 2001 when he really, truly was a game manager. I mean, it really was just don't screw it up for us, okay?
Right.
But then his second year, he led the NFL in touchdown passes with 28.
Right.
His second year.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, he just sort of kept crawling and crawling and crawling. Now, 28 compared to the numbers we saw later on, and especially what you see nowadays, you say, what's the big deal? But, you know, he goes from game manager, don't turn the ball over, hand it off, let the defense win the games, to leading the NFL in touchdown passes in his second year in the game.
Yeah.
As a starter.
And the NFL was it was so much different during that time as far as the passing game, and it was more evolved than, you know, 5 years before that. Mm-hmm. But think about where the NFL is in passing game-wise from 2001 to 2019.
Completely different. Because you can take – so Brady in 01 had an 86.5 quarterback rating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year he had an 88, and it was horrible.
Right.
So, and even the year that he led the league in touchdown passes, his quarterback rating went down. It was 85.7. That would be outside, I think, the top 20.
Right. But you'd also think that think about his pass attempts then.
Yeah,
and that would have been the difference. You know, he would have thrown the ball way more back, you know, if the game was the way it is now. He would have thrown the ball way more. He wasn't throwing it that much his first, you know, those first three Super Bowls.
You could say he didn't become Tom Brady, quote-unquote, until 2007. All of a sudden in 2007, he leads the NFL in completion percentage, yards, touchdown passes, touchdown percent. I mean, everything. He leads at everything. You know, he didn't really become Brady until that year.
Well, that's because they didn't allow him to become Brady.
Yeah,
right?
And I think that was more like, because again, that was sort of the Peyton Manning regular season that you were seeing. I think, and Boomer Esiason was on the Greg Hill Show today, and I agree with him. I think he kind of came Tom Brady in 01. I think it was that year, because that's what he's more known for than the 50 touchdown season, which happened once. Like, he's never even thrown for 40 besides that one season of the 50. It's the, all right, you're down by 3 points.
Right.
Or you're tied or whatever it is.
Right.
Let's move down the field. Do you trust your quarterback to not turn it over?
Right.
To, like, at least either you're going to go to overtime or you're going to win. And for him to march down and score, where you already had the sense that, like, if this game goes to overtime and the Rams get the ball, it's over.
Right.
And so for his ability to march down the field and score, that's still more Brady to me than, you know, regular season MVP.
Right. And the mindset was different. Like with Charlie Weiss and Josh McDaniels, if Charlie Weiss was more of, hey, we're going to throw the ball all over the place like they were with the Colts back in 01, 02, 03, then Brady's numbers would have been better, right? Brady would have put up better numbers, but I think it took a little bit more time before it became a passing offense.
Yeah.
What else you got coming up next? OMF at the top of the hour, Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
All right, it's time to get to a couple of things that we didn't get to earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Unfortunately, the conference call is still going on right now. The NHL is doing these Zoom conference call things by division. And Zdeno Chara is in the middle of one right now, so I don't have the sound yet. But he was asked during the conference call who he'd least like to be quarantined with. He said it was Tuukka Rask, quote, because of the way he farts. The smell is awful. He likes his chicken wings. Sometimes I have to sit behind him on the bus, and I have to control myself sometimes, unquote. I think Zdeno Chara has just won Twitter for the day.
You could see why they're doing these conference calls, getting the important stuff out of the way.
You can't get that stuff everywhere, you know.
Pretty good.
All right, Wiggy.
So we did our whole Brady top five tight ends and, you know, trying to figure out.
Who'd you have?
I had number one was myself and two was Gronk. And then Foyer came in third, and then I don't, really don't think it matters after that.
No, some other guys.
Yeah, and then some other guys. But Rodney Harrison chimed in a little on Tom Brady and his career.
I heard Randy Moss on television, ESPN, and he said, hey, for me, this show, this is going to tell me if Tom Brady was 100% responsible or if Coach Belichick was responsible for the success. Why can't... And that's really unfair. Think about this, Dan. It's really unfair for them, for people to say just those two names because we had so many great players. You think Tom Brady was winning championships without Willie McGinnis, Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, and Teddy Bruschi? No. But they try to make it all about Belichick, all about Brady. No, it was a team thing.
Well, I agree with Rodney. He should have thrown
it. Pass is dropped by Jermaine Wiggins, the tight end.
Stop that right now, John.
That's all right. I didn't. Those are hard to find.
That's
the drops.
Right.
But I will.
The only one I could find out.
Right. Well, that's right. And I will say this: where you know we have the top five tight ends, and you know their contribution, and why I put myself number one on the list. Another thing that Gronk didn't do, I was a part of why Belichick drafted Seymour.
That's right. You helped get another Hall of Famer in
that
here.
That is 100%
Gronk
right.
wasn't like, hey, I played with this guy at Arizona. Nope. I get him in here. Nope.
No, no. Belichick didn't walk up to him and say, hey, who should, you know, I got Richard Seymour and Marcus Stroud. Okay, you played with both of them at Georgia.
And you said Seymour.
What's your opinion on both of them?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, both good, but Seymour can do more.
What else you got?
Rich.
Real quick, though, on that Rodney point. It is true. Another example would be, Phil Jackson won without Michael Jordan. Jordan didn't win without Phil Jackson, but who do you think is really more responsible for that one? Right? Like, Phil won.
Yeah,
Phil had more success without Jordan.
Yeah, I kind of know.
Yeah,
but
he was
more responsible.
I think Phil was fortunate to get Kobe.
No, he was, but that's sort of the point. That's why it can't come down to this season to say who's more important.
I think Bill would need to get, you know,
he's gonna need to get
he would need to get Patrick Mahomes.
Well, one of Tom Brady's guys this year is Chris Godwin. He was on the boardroom. What is this? The show?
Oh, that's the Kevin Durant.
Is this the Durant
right?
show?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the Durant show.
Yeah, that's the
and,
Durant show.
And Godwin talked about his first FaceTime with Brady.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's literally just, you know, just getting to know, like, each other, you know, like, early, like, introductory things, you know, and just trying to, like, get a feel for who we are, like, as people, like, more than anything else. Like, we didn't talk ball or anything, really, just about, like, how excited, you know, we both are, like, to kind of play with each other, play on the same team, you know, together. And just for me, it's just, like, I'm just trying to learn, you know, learn as much as I can from somebody that's, you know, arguably the GOAT. You know, I'm ready to roll. And obviously all this stuff that's going on is kind of prohibiting a lot of this aspect, but I'm sure we'll make up for it down the road.
Well, that's what the, you know, college football's doing, and you're probably going to see the NFL where they're now allowing teams to have these virtual reality meetings.
That's all
they meetings. Can do. That's it.
Yeah, well,
that's
they should do. Allow them to do that.
Mm-hmm. What else you got?
So I tweeted this out over the weekend. There was a screenshot of a beach in Florida where one county was closed and one county was open, and you could literally see the line of people on the beach from one county to the other. And as I said, we are stupid. I continue to find evidence that we are stupid. We get this news report from Mercer County about a little get-together that was going on down there.
Let me give you an example of something not to do. And we are not going to be shy about naming and shaming those who can't get this message into their heads. Last night, right here in Mercer County, Ewing Township Police broke up a party with 47 people, including a DJ, crammed into a 550-square-foot apartment. The organizer was charged, as they should have been, and deserved to be.
47 people.
Where's that,
Mercer County? 550-square-foot, in Florida, of course, a 550-square-foot apartment.
Must have been a good DJ.
Yeah.
I don't care how good the DJ was. What the hell are you?
Yeah, you're always going to get a couple knuckleheads.
Unfortunately, we're getting more and more knuckleheads, and it's causing more and more issues. They've actually taken to zip tying the basketball hoops in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Wiggy. Sorry. But, you know, people just won't listen. And, hey, we got a game here. You know, we got to get out there and get our game on. But now they're zip tying all the hoops.
Yeah, you get a there. You'll never get rid of the morons out there. There's always going to be a handful. Don't let those bad apples spoil your bunch, though.
That's right.
That's what I would say.
Thank you to the best tight end of the Tom Brady era.
You are very
for joining
welcome.
Us today. We appreciate it so much. Tomorrow, by the way, Rich, just in case people are interested in our program tomorrow, when we do our Tom Brady content at 12:30 tomorrow, we're giving away a signed Tom Brady jersey.
Pretty good.
That's all. OMF is coming up next. Charlie Weiss will join them to talk about Tom Brady during the course of his career as well. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye. All these numbers just make my head swim.
And that's all, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.